Welcome to the Strong Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, mom, exercise physiologist, and pre- and postnatal fitness expert. This show is all about helping you navigate your pregnancy and postpartum journey with more strength, energy, and ease. Each week, pull up a seat for a new topic that will empower you to feel strong, capable, and confident while supporting your body through all the changes of the motherhood journey. Just a reminder that the information on this show is not meant to treat or diagnose any medical condition. Please speak to your medical provider for all things related to your healthcare. I'm honored and excited to be a part of your health journey into motherhood. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Strong Mama Podcast. Super excited to chat with Laura today from True Strength Collective about postpartum body image. I think we're going to have such a good conversation, speaking from both the, you know, newly postpartum mom to also if you are pregnant and sort of what to expect. And I know that even going through pregnancy can bring a whole bunch of body image things into play and concerns and questions and all the things. So we're going to just cover the realm today and get right into it. So welcome to the podcast, Laura. Why don't you go ahead and give everybody a brief introduction? Tell us who you are, what you do, about your family, whatever you want to share to start us off.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for having me on, Nicole. I am feeling very gratuitous to be here. I love connecting with you on social media and just feel really thankful to be able to reach your audience about a really just a very icky subject. I think body image is something that a lot of us don't really love to talk about because it just reveals a lot of areas of insecurity. And it's more of those silent battles that I think we don't talk about a lot. So as a strength coach and pre and postnatal fitness coach, I help women to shatter body shame and embrace strength training so that they can go on and live the best life that they want to live, whether that is being a strong mom, hiking the Himalayas, or just being able to pick up your kids without back pain, get stronger. It's what I love to do. I help them to restore their body image and help them to do that from a faith-based perspective. So I am a believer. I love the Lord, and I make a lot of what I do about Him. And I have a lot of clients who are believers. I have a lot of clients who aren't believers. But I have found with faith to help women find a lot of peace with their body and to restore who they feel like they are at a very baseline level. And I think really that core of who we are changes a lot through pregnancy and as we become moms. So I love stepping into that aspect of body image because it's just such a transitionary time. Transitionary may or may not be a word, but I think people know what I'm talking about. It's just it's a big transition. And I think there's a lot of aspects in body image that aren't talked about enough throughout pregnancy. We're focused a lot on the baby. We're focused a lot on health and a lot of other aspects. But I think the aspect specifically of body image when it comes to our mental health and changing through pregnancy is an issue that's not really addressed a whole lot. So I think a lot of women feel very ill-equipped on how to handle those thoughts and how to handle that emotion that comes up as we see our body change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely love all that. And everything that you combine into one, you know, fitness, body image, faith, you don't see that often. And I think that's a really cool way to bring everything together. Because I mean, the fitness industry is just notorious for aesthetics, and not saying that's, you know, a terrible thing by any means, but also it does come with a lot of body image baggage, right? Like it does come with that body shaming sort of aspect with most things in the fitness industry. And I know, like you, I try to take a more body positive approach as well, because I mean, that's just what it's all about, function and just really loving your body. So love all that. Okay, let's start broad and then we will dive in as we go. So how do you define body image? I know that's kind of like a broad term, but like, how do you define body image?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would define it by many things of what it's not. So a lot of people, when they think of body image, they just think, oh, it's how my body looks. And it's really so much more than that. It is not only just how we think our bodies look, but it's also the perception that we portray or project that other people think about our bodies. So body image is not just this perception that we have about our bodies, although that is a certain aspect of it. There's an internal and an external aspect to body image that I think a lot of people don't address. So when we're looking in the mirror and we see our body, for example, we're looking and we see, okay, here's how I see my thighs. But then there's a secondary factor to body image of here's how I think other people see my thighs. And I think often we don't address those as separate things. We just think, I think this, so therefore everyone else must think this. And that's really the difference between body image and body schema. I don't know if you guys have heard of body schema before, but body image is our perception of our body. Body schema is our body's actual perception. So the difference there is if you were to take a picture looking at a mirror, if you were to take a picture of your reflection, that's your body schema. It is your height, your hair color, your skin tone. It is all of those things. It is your body's actual, like, schema is kind of another word for map or like schematic. Our body image is how we take that and we interpret that. So it's the messages that we overlay on top of our body schema that tend to say, I'm not fit enough, I'm too wide, I'm too thick, I'm too thin, I'm too skinny, I'm too sk like all of the twos or not enoughness that we lay on top of our body's per actual perception is then our body image. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, I've actually never heard it explained that way, so that was really helpful. It's just kind of like I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I'm thinking like right brain versus left brain. We're like, but it's not that. It's just one is more like fact and one is more almost like fiction or like what we believe, like subjective type thing. Yeah, so definitely following on that, but that is a really good definition and way to kick us off.
Yeah, Dove actually did a really cool experiment. I want to say it was like in 2014. They funded this really cool project. I think it was called the Real, I might be getting this mixed up, but I think it's called the Real Beauty Project. And they had this artist come in who is a professional artist for the, I think it's the CIA. And he comes in and he's a professional at hearing people's description of bodies and then like sketching faces that are often used for finding missing persons or identifying the culprit. And so they had people come in, they had women come in, and they sat down and they described themselves to this person when he could not see them. So they're describing the way that they look. They're describing, you know, I have broad shoulders, or I have a lot of lines on my face. I look sad, or I'm heavy, I'm obese, whatever words they would choose to use. And he would use those words to create a picture of the people. He then had other people come in and describe other women in the group and how they perceived those women. So they use different attributes. And the artists then used those words and adjectives and the way that they described other women's bodies and did a different picture. So the women then sat down with the artist, and the artist showed them the two pictures. And he said, okay, here's the picture of how you described yourself. And then he showed them the picture of how other people see you. And it was just wild to see the difference between the two. In the picture where it was self-description, the women looked solemn, scared. Like if they carried extra body fat, it was an extra 40 to 50 pounds. If they didn't carry body fat and they were insecure about not having enough body fat on their body, they looked skull like very skull-like or very thin. Or sickly versus the way that other people describe them, which was just these beautiful pictures of health that were radiant and glowing and smiling. And so it was just a really good, I think, example. And it's great. Go look it up. The Dove Beauty Project was just, it was really well done. And I think it showed us as women of how we describe ourselves very differently. And that's that kind of body schema versus body image. And then the secondary aspect of that are our internal body image and how we project what we see on our body.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that thing that you just mentioned, the Dove Project. I feel like I remember it, but I don't know if I ever like watched the full thing. So I'll have to see if I can search for that because I bet it would be pretty interesting to see the difference between the two. I'm assuming, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that since you're kind of in this body image space, body image and meets fitness space, that you've kind of had your own journey through pre-pregnancy to pregnancy to postpartum. Is that correct? You've kind of had your own sort of like transformational experience.
A transformational experience is a great way to put it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that. You don't have to go like too into the nitty-gritty, but just to kind of paint the picture of kind of how maybe your perception or just, your whole idea, your view of your, it doesn't have to be exactly your view of your body, but how your body image has changed through the different seasons and stages of pregnancy and motherhood.
Yeah, I think that pregnancy was really just the like eruption of a volcano of a lot of things that had been lying on underneath. I don't really know that pregnancy created anything new per se. It was more of like, okay, this has been going on for a long time, and now because of pregnancy, it's under a lot more pressure and is coming to the surface because the changes were just so fast and drastic. But I, gosh, I think back and I remember sitting on our deck in the sun with my friend next to me and looking at her thighs and looking at my thighs. And I remember just capturing the difference of size between her thighs and my thighs. And in my mind, I suddenly started to believe, why are mine so much bigger than hers? And I started to believe this lie from that moment on that there was something wrong with my thighs. And it really started a journey, really from that point of just constantly trying to be smaller. And when I first dipped my toes into fitness, I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna start running. And it was running to get smaller. It was never running to get healthier or running to get stronger or running to get more, have better aerobic capacity. It was just, I want to be smaller. So therefore, I should exercise. And man, I just hearing those words, I'm like, that's shifted so much. But that's where I was at the time. And that was my entry point. And if, and as I'm hearing, as I'm saying this, if anyone is resonating, like, please know what brought you here doesn't have to keep you here. Like, you can start in fitness with the intent to just make your body smaller or to just, get through pregnancy and look your best. And you can come out on the other side of it thinking, I'm doing this to help my health, or I'm doing this to make me feel more whole, or I'm doing this to help me feel more empowered or more capable in my day-to-day life. So after that moment, like I said, that was really just the tipping point of the journey where I realized, like, okay, my body, I started to believe that my body wasn't good enough. And as I went through high school, it just continued. I started running more and running more and running more. And then I went away to college and got my bachelor's in exercise science, thinking, okay, I'm gonna get this degree and I'm gonna shape up my body and shape up the world. And so but little did I know, it was really just the starting point. And I think that in a lot of ways, I was able to get to the point where I fell on my knees and realized that more was not the answer. I completely overdosed on exercise and I underfed my body. And anyone who has been in health and fitness for a while will tell you that's a recipe for burnout. And I experienced every aspect of burnout you can imagine. It was hormonal, it was emotional, it was mental, and it was physical. Like, I went to go do a deadlift in the gym, and my ego and my competitive spirit was so big. I saw somebody else doing a deadlift, and I was like, I bet I can out deadlift her. What I didn't know what it mattered, but I just wanted to out deadlift her and hadn't fed myself, hadn't been exercising, was working out 6 to 8 times a week. And I went to go do the deadlift and snap, like something flipped in my back and I thought I was never going to be able to deadlift again. And that really brought me in a lot of ways, quite physically, to my knees, where I realized this is not the way. Like, this is my body telling me, this is the Holy Spirit telling me, like, this is not the way. This is not the abundant life that I have for you. And so I had to do a lot of recentering. Why am I here? Why am I showing up? What does health and fitness actually mean to me? And how is it going to help me have a more capable, more effective, successful, and really impactful life, which is what I wanted it to do. So from that point on, I really started to identify what I would call body beliefs. And body belief is something that you have adopted and agreed with about your body. And then that's beneath the surface and above the surface, like of an iceberg. I like to use that analogy of an iceberg. Beneath the surface is the belief that we have about our body. You're too big, you're too small, your arms are too big, your legs are too thick, whatever belief we have about our body. we agree with that, whether it's something that we spoke over our body or somebody spoke over us, or perhaps another like social media outlet was spoken over us, and we agree with it. And then after we agree with it, we act on it. And through that action, we then try to remedy it through fitness, through diets. And then in that remedy, if it doesn't work, we push more of the remedy and we increase our dosage. And that doesn't actually solve the problem. It's more just like a management, and management in that sense can actually be harmful, from at least in my case, in the case of a lot of my clients. And so through that recentering and identifying those body beliefs, I was then able to reconnect to my body in a way that was healthy, and establish exercise as a way that is not just meant to make us smaller, but that's meant to make us stronger, more capable, particularly for us as women, more empowered, to be confident to do the things that we need to do outside of our workouts. And that was really empowering for me. So, to answer your question, then a little background when it came to pregnancy, and I had all of those body beliefs that I had kind of worked through prior to pregnancy. So many different ones came up that I didn't even realize I had attached to pregnancy, of I need to have a belly only pregnancy. Like, I saw that on Instagram and I was like, what does that even mean? Who came up with that? Who said that women should look like that during pregnancy? And so I just started to identify a lot more of those beliefs. And then as I went through pregnancy, there's a lot of just pressure. I think as the body changes and changes so quickly, you're kind of forced to, underneath the weight of, pun intended, underneath the weight of pregnancy, to come face to face with those beliefs. I remember when I was, gosh, I must have been like 37, 38 weeks pregnant with my son, and I was laying on the bed and I was just so distraught. And I said, none of my clothes fit me. Like, nothing fits. And I just remember feeling really defeated and really just angry at my body and sad. And so I think from that point on, just identifying new body beliefs and a process as the body changes. So I say all that to the woman who is perhaps pregnant or postpartum, to know that pregnancy is a wild ride. It is literally a sprint of body changes that happens so quickly. And then in postpartum, you're met with not only the change of your body, but also the change of your role as a mom. So you're processing these changes in your body, and you're also processing changes in your schedule and your lifestyle, which is just, it's massive and it's a lot. So I'd say that's a snippet of how it's changed. I think currently now, 9 months postpartum, it's been amazing to see how adopting the belief that my body is made to be strong, not to be small, has really helped now get back to training, and where training feels good. And I'm able to do pull-ups again. I'm able to do my deadlifts, push-ups. And I think I'm on this side in a lot more awe and wonder of just how amazing the female body is to be able to go through that transformation. So I think it's almost been a blessing in disguise in that way, to be able to see it transform.
Yeah, thank you for sharing all that. I feel like there are so many pieces that people can connect to, and I connected with, especially like where that initial sort of like body image came from. Like in elementary school, I had a very similar experience of like, it was my thighs too. Like, I don't know, it was like sixth grade, and I like put on shorts for gym class, and like all of a sudden I was like, my thighs don't look like her thighs. Like they're jiggly, you know? It comes from a young age a lot of times, right? Is that what you kind of see from your clients and what you've seen in your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. It does come. I would say most of the time, our most formative years for that are really between like 10 to 14, I think, is when women, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, if you think that age might be starting to get more younger. As women, I just at younger age, girls are exposed to more social media, more videos, more things like that. I mean, my exposure was Vanessa Hudgens in High School Musical, and I remember looking at her and be like, I don't look like Vanessa Hudgens. And, but I think I really wasn't exposed to a lot of that prior to that age, and so I'd be curious. Yes, to answer your question, I think it does happen at a young age. To ask you another question, do you think that that age might be getting younger?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious on what that would actually be, but yeah, with all the media, social media, video, like you had said, I mean, I bet it's that's so scary. That makes me so scared for our kids. I'm like, oh,
Yeah,
man.
it is literally why I do what I do because I have found
Yes.
that I coach my clients through what we call collective celebration of our bodies, and where I encourage them on a weekly basis to find some type of non-skill victory and to practice that. Because I think when we get better at practicing non-skill victories, we get better at helping other people practice non-skill victories. And so that's it's it is part of my goal is that I want to affect my clients, I want to affect the people who I come in contact with, but more than that, I want to affect the next generation. I want the next generation to have that awareness of thinking of their body as way more than a size or an object to be identified as fit enough or not fit enough. Like, people are much more complex and complicated. And I think your body is the least interesting thing about you. There's so much more to us than we can see in the reflection of a mirror. And I think that's why addressing body image is so powerful because it helps people to discover other aspects of their personality and their unique talents and gifts that they have that they've just missed because they've been identifying areas that they're not enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. That gave me goosebumps when you said that. Like
Oh,
it
thanks.
starts with us. I mean, it starts with us and that ripples down. So you're doing really important work. Okay. So I think moving on, I think we kind of covered the question of why do you think so many postpartum moms have challenges with their body image? We sort of sprinkled that into your story, but is there anything we left out that you feel are reasons behind the reason that postpartum moms would have challenges with body image? Is there anything you would add to that?
I mean, could we talk about how mental health is now starting to be talked about, which I think is great when it comes to pregnancy? They're doing a lot more postpartum depression screening, which I think is great. In and of that, I don't think they're talking enough about how women feel in their bodies, and how they are handling the changes. And so I think because it's not talked about a whole lot, women often feel perhaps in like ill-equipped to be able to manage the changes or to even know to give it a name and just call it like I have body image struggles. And I think just giving it a name and starting to speak some of the struggles out loud gives it less power over our life. But I think that a lot of women feel challenged by it because it's they don't have a verbiage. They don't have a dictionary to be able to put words to it. They just think it's true, which the it's the beliefs that we think are true that are the most harmful. So they think that it's true that they're not fit enough. They think it's true that their legs are too thick or too thin. And I think when they believe it to be true is when it starts to become really harmful. So I think to answer your question, I think that if it was talked about more, perhaps from a maybe in the OB visit of like, hey, you know, your body's changing a lot. How are you doing here? I think that even just that question would just be really powerful to open up, like, ah, you know, it's hard. You know, like I can't see my feet anymore, or you know, my boobs are so much bigger than they've ever been. You know, are they going to ever stop growing? And just being able to normalize some of those struggles that we face alone in the mirror. I call them our battlegrounds. Have you heard this term before? Like the
No.
battlegrounds for body image are the fitting room, your closet, your bedroom mirror, your bathroom mirror. Those are the battlegrounds for body image where you have those thoughts that they come up and you think that thought negatively about your body. And then it just kind of sits there and it sits in your head and it ferments and it starts to get really stinky. I think it just gets worse over time. But to answer your question, I think that a lot of it just isn't talked about enough. And even between moms, I don't think a lot of moms talk about it. You know, we talk about heartburn and heartburn's the first thing, insomnia and our feet hurt and all of those other things that we, you know, struggle with during pregnancy. But I think there's a certain level of vulnerability that can be opened up when we start to open that discussion. And I think that,
Yeah, it can. Oh, sorry.
oh, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just to echo your point, like it can be an isolating experience. So even just to talk about it, you know, can make you feel less alone, you know, feeling that empathy, knowing that you're not alone in what you're going through. And yeah, I think that would be amazing to have more of that support on the journey postpartum, because it just so much of our care, and I see it a lot with like the fitness side of things and like core and pelvic floor recovery. It kind of gets pushed to the back burner, and I could see that easily happening with like any body image issues that are kind of below the surface, because we don't have time to deal with them. Like we don't have the time, the energy, like these other things are seemingly more important, like the baby and getting rest and stuff like that, which I mean, this stuff is also very important, which is why we're talking about it. So, yeah. What are some sneaky signs of body shame? Because of course, like, you explained the battlegrounds a little bit, but kind of explain like what are some behaviors or things we might be doing that are like these sneaky body shame things?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is going to be highly individual based on somebody's history, somebody's perception, their body schema, right? So I would say it's highly individual. Maybe some people resonate with different ones of these than others. I would say the most common one is body checking. So this is where it can either be done visually or tactilely. So you can walk past a mirror and like look back at your butt, or you can be working out and you're like looking at your arms, like, is there too much jiggle there? Or you can be visually checking or tactilely checking. So feeling your butt, or like feeling for a muffin top, or feeling different areas of your body to see if they're tight enough or toned enough. So I would say body checking is the biggest one. It's going to have a lot of different, it's going to look a lot different for different people. I'd say that's a big one. Another one I would say is body scanning. So, body checking and body scanning are slightly different. Body scanning is where we are actually looking at other people and we're looking at their body and we're comparing it to our body. And we're saying, does my body look like that? And I don't know about you, but I used to do this actually with my husband back when we were dating. Like, we would be at the beach or at the mall or something, and I'd see somebody else. I'm like, hey, is that what my legs look like? Is that what my back looks like? Is that what my butt looks like? And I point out other people. So it's scanning the room in comparison to other people. And our brain is just trying to find that like place of acceptance. Like, do I look like them? Because if I look like them, I'm acceptable. And so body scanning, we can do it for other people, kind of identifying where do we fit in line with that. So say body checking, body scanning are probably the two biggest ones. And then body hiding. So if I see somebody who is wearing, it's like really, really hot outside and they're wearing a jacket, and I'm like, why are you wearing a jacket? It's 95 degrees outside. We live in Florida, so it's common when I see that, as just as a way to hide their bodies. Or on the flip side, one of my clients is sub 100 pounds, and one of the things we worked on with her is wearing sweaters to like cover up her shoulders when she wasn't cold. And using our clothes to like hide in our body, rather than wearing our clothes to be comfortable or whatever the temperature is that we need to adapt our clothes for. So I would say those are the top three that I've seen. How about you? Have you noticed anything with your clients?
I mean, those three have definitely come up before. I don't know if I would have anything to add to it. Gosh. Nothing's popping up immediately. I think you really covered a good range there, but I've definitely seen that behavior. I feel like, I don't know what your opinion is on this, but I feel like even if you feel like you're mostly in a good place with body image, those things can probably still pop up, right? Because I was gonna say, I think that I sometimes like by default, like probably do those things. And so is it the goal to reach a point where we're not shaming our body in those subtle ways? What is the goal, right? That would be my next question for you.
Yeah, that's an absolutely great question. Because the goal, while specifically different for everybody, some people just want to be at a place where like they don't really feel shame in their bodies. Some people want to be a place where they feel absolute positivity for their body. I personally coach and operate from a place myself where I just want to think less about my body. I don't want to think any less of my body. I want to think of my body as valuable, inherently worthy, good, acceptable, redeemed. And those are all words that I would continue and do continue to speak over my body, that it is good, it is made good, and it's fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I speak those things over my body, but my goal is to just think about my body less, not to think any less of my body, but just to think about it less. And that's really the goal, because there's so many better things that we could be thinking about. Just when I think the biggest win for me when it came to my body image was when I was able to walk into a room, see the other women around me, not judge their body as good or bad or fit enough, but just see them and be genuinely interested in their good and not give a rip about what my body looked like, but just to be able to be present with them fully, calm in my mind and interested in what was going on in their life. And I remember like feeling that for the first time and acknowledging it and just noticing, wow, like this feels so free. My mind is quiet. And I was able to remember things about people's lives because I wasn't so concerned and I wasn't so consumed with what they were thinking about me and my body. So I can't necessarily like speak out everyone's goal, but that certainly is my goal and what I work towards. And that's a sign for me that either I need to be doing some work if I am back in that place of thinking about my body more. And I use that kind of as my red flag or my predictor of progress.
Yeah, I can see that kind of being like a guidepost. But I love that. It sounds, I mean, it just brings so much freedom, right? When you have more brain space to be present in what you're doing and not thinking so much about your body. So I think that's an awesome goal to work towards.
Yes, and workouts when you're not thinking about your body are so much more effective. I find my quality of movement is better. I'm just able to focus on form and enjoying the process and feeling strong. And it's a very different way of working out when you're thinking of empowering your body rather than like minimizing your body.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more too, because this podcast is we primarily talk a lot about fitness, and I think it would be really cool to hear your perspective on how to wrap body image or how you wrap body image and fitness together. Like, I know so many people see working out as a way to change their body, which is something I'm trying to really work against with with this podcast. But do you have any tips for exercise when you're also working on your body image at the same time? Like how to kind of like pair that together and keep making progress with body image, but working out in a way that you kind of just described where you feel empowered and strong. Do you have any tips or like guidance on how to get to a place where that feels like a good balance?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. One of my favorite authors, and her name is escaping me right now, which is really silly, but we'll call that mom brain. One of my favorite authors says that the heart can't love what the mind doesn't know. So if somebody wants to be a place where they love feeling empowered and they love working out and they love their body, they can't get there unless their mind knows it and they've experienced it for themselves. So one of the ways that I approach that with my clients is to take what I would call a fitness first approach. So I really let them identify, like we take a break from dieting, we take a break from any type of things that are going to trigger that desire or urge to get smaller, and we take a fitness first approach. So I encourage them to choose 1 to 2 ability-based goals rather than appearance-based goals. So ability would be being able to bench press my body weight or do my first pull-up or get my first push-up or squat my son's body weight. Whatever it is, I would encourage them to find a very specific, measurable, ability-based goal. And going through that process of reaching that goal, I have found 9 times out of 10 that it shows women a challenge that is way different than the challenge of running or cardio or doing boot camp classes. And that is the challenge of strength. And when they overcome that challenge and see that their body is capable of building that strength, and they get just a taste of that empowerment, I've found that that has helped women to really fall in love with their body from a different perspective and to gain that respect, that I think in some ways, really through pregnancy, we get an ounce of. But I think in strength training, you can get a pound of it, pun intended. Because you can just see, like, wow, like I could not do a push-up before I've put in the time and I put in the practice, and now I'm doing push-ups. And I am now a person who has upper body strength. Whereas before, I used to always tell myself, I don't have any upper body strength. I have zero upper body strength. And I just think providing evidence and pointing them to that evidence time and time again helps them to gradually shift their mindset around their bodies and the purpose of fitness in their body's health and fitness journey.
Yeah, it comes back to the goal and the intention, right? I also love performance-based or like functional-based goals. I actually had a client just the other day. She had like we were celebrating wins, and she like does flowers for and she does flowers for events and weddings. It requires carrying lots of heavy buckets, climbing ladders. Like she was like, 15,000 steps before noon. It's just like a very laborious activity. And she, like, we've been working out for 2.5 months now, strength training. And she's like, that would have normally made me so debilitating sore for like 2 days. She's like, I felt nothing. It was like a normal day. And she's trying to conceive. So she is like relating that to how she's going to feel postpartum, getting up off the floor with her baby and bending over to pick them up and like really just being a functional mom. So I think it does come back, like you had just said, to your intention around it, and yeah, just how you start to approach it. So I absolutely love that. Moving on. So now that we've talked a whole through a whole broad range of things, what are some other ways, if we haven't mentioned them already, what are some other ways that women can start making peace with their beliefs about their body and maybe some of those things that have affected them in childhood that are carrying over to their pregnancy or postpartum or like just expectations they've had? How do we start reshaping those beliefs, bringing them to the surface and working on them? Because I know you've mentioned, like, if I notice this red flag, that means I have work to do. So, what is that work? Like, what are some simple steps maybe that women can start to tangibly take?
Yes, that's a really good question. I think the first is to, if somebody was bleeding out, you wouldn't offer them a band-aid. And so I think the first is to stop the bleeding and stop those things that you identify as triggers for body image. So if you're finding that the clothes that you have right now that you're working out in are extremely triggering, and every time you put them on, they feel so tight, they feel uncomfortable, you're only thinking about your body, then it might be time to either invest or borrow your husband's shirts or to just stop the bleeding in that sense. And a lot of people give me like resistance to that because they're like, well, then I'm just resigning to how my body is. And that's not the case. Like resigning is resigning, adapting is adapting. So if you are in a stage where you need to adapt to stop the pattern of those thoughts, then adapt. So wearing comfortable clothes, if you identify, I talk to my clients a lot about music and the things that we listen to and the things we consume and how that trains our brain. So if you are constantly finding yourself being triggered by something on social media or music that makes you hyper aware of your body, then I would really encourage you to stop listening, even for a short term. But I think a lot of those pressures, when consistently absorbed, start to shift our perception of our bodies. So to identify what those things are, once you've kind of quote unquote like stop the bleeding or those things that are pressuring us, then we can actually take a step back. We're not bleeding out anymore. So we can then start to identify that's okay, what's the cause here? And then from that point, what I take my clients through is a little exercise. I call it the movie theater exercise. And I have them sit down, close their eyes, and get just really relaxed. And I have them think about their life like a movie. And from the earliest memory they can remember with their body, just thinking through those times and picturing it as a movie, going through and seeing what are the characters in the movie, what's the plot of the movie, and how has our body been treated and spoken over the movie, quote unquote, of our life. It's a really powerful exercise. I have several important questions that I ask during it, but I'd say 9 times out of 10, women walk away with, actually, you know what came to mind that I've never thought of before until this moment? And it's this person who said something, like we talked about, a person who said something in gym class, or they caught a glimpse of themselves in a mirror, or they were at a party and somebody said something. And they realize, like, wow. And then I'll ask them, to what extent has that comment been affecting you? And in what ways are you noticing it guide your decisions or beliefs. Once they do that, we're kind of able to say, wow, I took this thing that somebody said to me who might have been 10 or 12 years old. I took the words of a 12-year-old and I let it shape the entire projection of my life. And once we can step back and then I ask them, how do you want that to continue to affect you in the future? Or how would you anticipate that will affect you in the future if you continue to believe it? They're then able to say, wow, that's going to take me to a place I don't want to be. And so we can kind of then start to dissociate, or what I would say, disagree with that belief and say, this belief is not going to benefit me. And then we need to rewire the belief. So we need to say, okay, I no longer want to believe that it's true that my legs are too thick or my arms are too jiggly or whatever too or not enough we have claimed upon our body. And then I want to give them a new belief. So a lot of my clients are believers, so I'll give them a Bible verse or I'll give them something that God speaks over us to be true. Or I'll encourage them, what are their core values? Like, what are, if you've ever gone through Brené Brown's core values, so really powerful. And what are those things that I do want to be true about me and my body? Do I want to be somebody who lives in integrity? Do I want to be somebody who is impactful and to use those as a way to re-identify what we're aiming for in our body? And then last but not least, a super fun exercise is I'll have them take three pieces of paper. And on those pieces of paper, I'll have them write down what are three things they've been told previously about their body. And then I'll have them take those and read them out loud. And I'll have them notice as they're reading those things, how does it show up for their body? Where do they feel it? A lot of the times when they're reading those previous things, people have noticed my hands get clammy, or my voice starts to shake, or I get really stressed, anxious, I feel my heartbeat racing faster. And I'll have them take them after noticing that and just put them down and then write out their three core values or three, what I would call like identifying values that God has over us. And then I'll have them speak those out loud. And I'll do the same thing. What do you notice differently about those? How is your body responding to the words that you're speaking over it? And it's amazing, Nicole, how women respond differently to those then. And I say, okay, imagine if you start practicing this every day. And imagine the effect that that will have on the relationship with your body when you're able to then practice these things regularly. So I'll have them take those new beliefs, and I have them take the old beliefs. If we want to get really crazy, we'll burn them. If it's a normal day, if it's Tuesday, we'll just rip them up and I'll say we're done with those. But then I'll have them take the new beliefs and put them on those battlegrounds or those places where they tend to have the biggest struggle. So body image struggles, areas like their bathroom mirror, their bedroom mirror, fitting room, or like when they're driving, sometimes some women who struggle with their face, if they've gained weight and they see it in their face, in their rear view mirror, in different areas that they tend to struggle. So that's in a very big, large nutshell, like a walnut sized nutshell of how I help women with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, those are, yeah, 100%. And yeah, we have to really identify and then start to reshape those beliefs because our mind is so dang powerful. It's just amazing to me, like what you think really is what you believe. I know it's that quote, but your thoughts create feelings, your feelings create actions, and that is a ripple effect with body image, right? Yeah.
And the vice versa, that true is true as well. I think our feelings then can create thoughts. I think, we can kind
Yeah.
of go back and forth on that too.
Yeah, they're absolutely interchangeable in a lot of ways. All right. This has been amazing. One final thing I want to ask you is, what would you say to a mom who is kind of feeling foreign in her body right now? She's going through this big transition, this big transformation of pregnancy or maybe new motherhood, and it's just, she's noticed those body changes, the weight gain, just not feeling herself. What would you say to that mom?
It's okay. I think they need to know it's okay to feel this way. Particularly for first-time moms, you are going through one of the biggest physical, I think miraculous transformations that a body can go through. And it's a shell shock. So it's no wonder why that it feels so foreign, because like I said, you're changing everything. Like your body is becoming, I use the word a transformation. I somewhat vehemently against bounce back culture. I think that our bodies can't bounce back. To bounce back would mean that you're not a mom anymore, and that's certainly not a place where most moms want to be. And I think that it is a transformation. So what I would encourage her to do is to think of it across a spectrum, to know that your body is going to change and it's okay. It's also okay that you don't love all of those changes. I think that there's this pressure that we have to love our pregnancy body and we have to love the postpartum phase and we have to love being a mom. I just encourage you, like it's okay. I think that we need to give ourselves a big exhale. Like it's okay that you don't feel like you're glowing right now in your pregnancy. It's okay. It's human. It's very human of you to feel that way. And then just encourage you. I don't want to blow sunshine up somebody's butt, but I would just encourage you, like it's okay to find some positives. It's okay to find some things that you feel you are doing well. If even just eating three meals a day or going for a walk once or twice a week, to find those things that you are doing well and you are taking care of your body, and taking care of your baby. Then, last but not least, I would just say do what you can. If what you can looks like eating Dino Nuggets and sitting on the couch and going for a 5-minute walk twice a day, like that's amazing. And in that way, we cannot control how our body changes in pregnancy. I think control is an illusion. You can't control really if you have belly-only pregnancy or not. And I think the pressure of trying to put your body through that would do way more harm than good. So just focus on your contributions to your body. Focus on trying to embrace strength training as much as you can. Focus on trying to get your walks in. If you're able to consistently contribute, then you are doing well. And I was just continuing, like if finding somebody to help walk through those body image struggles is the step that you need to take, then have that step, have somebody you can talk to about that. But just know that you're not alone in it. Not alone.
So many golden nuggets there. Love that. All right, Laura, as we wrap up, go ahead and tell everyone where they can learn more about you, your work, your body image and fitness coaching, whatever it is that you want to share.
So you can find me on the gram. I do love the gram. I'm on there Monday through Friday. You won't find me there on the weekends, but I am on the gram regularly posting content, really helpful content when it comes to body image and strength training. So you can find me there. About twice a year, I host a masterclass called Bibles and Bodies. That is a deep dive on healing body image for active Christian women. So if you're subscribed to any of my mailing lists or following the podcast, which I have, which is called Her True Strength Podcast, you can find out more details about that. And then I do offer strength training programs for women, either through postpartum and pregnancy or just regular general strength training programs. So follow me on the gram and you can learn more about all of those from there.
Awesome. Yes, definitely go check out Laura's stuff. And Laura, thank you so much. This was a very good, deep, awesome, tangible conversation, all the things. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing with everyone.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Hope to connect with you guys on Instagram. And any moms out there, keep going. You guys are doing amazing things.
And that's a wrap, Mama. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Strong Mama Podcast. If this show has served you in some way, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. Head to strongmamawellnessco.com for more free resources and opportunities for us to work together. Until next time, keep moving.